What are these different thoughts you're having?
All right, so we know how when we're in the phase, we're gonna have want the most frequent items in the cache. We know what the end game is. We want the most frequently used items in the phase. We want that to be what's in the cache, and then we want it to stay that way for the rest of the phase.
Yeah, assuming that if it is either a memory, well, negatively correlated access pattern, right? If there is some temporal locality, then maybe frequency is not the only thing for us. So, which is...
What was it called? Correlated?
Yeah.
It sounds more like the prefetching stuff. I'm not really sure if we could be using it. If we have the information to prefetching, then we would be doing that already, I assume, with certain algorithms.
Well, prefetching fetches items that are not being accessed. That's the definition of prefetching. That have not been accessed yet. So
exactly.
You can prefetch them before they get accessed.
Yeah. Because there's a certain assumption that can be made with...
Right, that's to do with spatial locality as opposed to temporal locality. Now, spatial locality meaning that the addresses are right next to each other. Whereas temporal locality is that...
This follows this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when there is some temporal locality... for a given item, what it means is that when it gets accessed once, then it's likely to be accessed again soon. But anyway, forget about all that, right? Forget about all that and tell me what you're thinking.
So
you were...
The idea is basically having almost like... Pardon me. This was made up last night, so pardon, there's very little substance there. But either way, so you have basically two lists, one being metadata, the other one being actual things in the cache.
Yeah.
So you'd want to have the ability to keep whatever is being obviously most frequently accessed thing in there. So you have to probably implement a counter base and then have a minimum count that you have to beat with anything that's in the LRU that's metadata. Because you can have the counts in there as metadata itself, and that can get implemented. The only problem becomes you need to implement aging in order to make sure these go out. So there's all these other complicated things, but in my head, at least, it seems like that gives the possibility of having the end result, at least. But the question still becomes, when do we start it?
But and so you explain
and how
that,
long you keep it.
I see where you're going, but I want to be sure. You talked about the information that you would like to keep, which is, you know, maybe access frequencies of various items or access counts of various items in the cache versus access counts of items in the ghost
like a history.
Right, like an ARC B list.
Yeah.
Right? So let's say the B list versus the T list. And both have these access counts. So when an item gets accessed, it may be in the B list, it may be in the T list, it may be neither. Maybe accessed for the very first time, or it may be accessed after a really long time. In either case, I guess it's not important enough to jump up and start worrying about this item. That, you know, that is probably, you know, it may be getting popular, but not yet. So we start keeping some information about it, perhaps in the B list.
And of course,
or actually, it would go into the T list, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it was a miss, it would go into the T list, and then we start keeping information about it.
Yeah, the only problem is that with the T2 list in ARC is that it only cares about if you have at least two accesses to it in recent history.
Sure.
So there's the opportunity that even if an item still is accessed, if everything is accessed still with a certain number of highly, not super highly, but just two frequently accessed items in between, it, I don't know. It was just a random thought. And
well, we are having similar thoughts. I mean, not exactly the same, but along the same way. And you know, Ricardo can maybe describe what he's been thinking about.
Awesome.
And maybe it's... whereas in your case, you have this more difficult task of choosing the precise point where to switch off the algorithm.
Yeah,
and
on or off.
On or off, and it's a more coarse-grained... It is necessarily constrained because the indicator that you're using is a fat indicator, meaning that you're looking at a significant amount of history to make a decision. And if you're looking at a significant amount of history, whatever decision you make is probably going to be valid only if you apply it for a long period of time. So that makes the problem challenging in some ways, whereas, you know, Ricardo's version is more, more, I guess, memory-less in some sense, in terms of what's going on in the recent past and keeping averages and things like that. So maybe, Ricardo, you can tell him very quickly about what are the latest updates.
Okay, so remember that I was keeping a history about the latest misses. When you access the cache. So
the miscount when you last access the item.
Yes. So then
for each item.
So the first version was that we just saved the items that were recently missed in the cache, and we saved them there because we didn't cache the items directly the first time that you access them. If it's not on the history, we wouldn't cache them. We'll put them as a element in the history that we had. As a recently missed element.
So, like, instead of populating into ARC, let's say, to T1, you just place them to B1.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. But not on B1, but because I have a history.
Yeah.
I have another structure that is not either B1 or B2. I have my own history.
I meant as a...
Yes.
Instead of it being the cache, it's just kind of metadata.
Yes, exactly. At first. And then, as you re-access it, then you will put it in the cache because it's on the cache history.
Yeah, because so basically you're putting anything with a frequency of 2.
Yes,
greater
exactly, right? So we have a new version, so we've been...
No, what is the problem with that?
So the problem with that version is that we have the sharding problem, right? Because everything that, even if you have elements with the same frequency, if you do this access twice, even though it's harmful for the cache, then you will put it there, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was... one of the things I was thinking about with the idea I had was that literally there's a minimum cost of entry. Means that you have to beat the lowest thing on inside the cache in frequency.
Yeah.
Right.
That's in order to prevent churning, which
right.
I thought was a more interesting idea.
Yeah.
Right. So we have so I had that idea about frequency, adding like an algorithm of doing the same analysis that we've been doing so far, but instead of evicting something here, we will have like a frequency algorithm, and then the history will work differently just to try to evict things with different frequency or lower frequency than the ones in the history. But that's also very expensive. So we came up with a new idea, which is storing the misses inside of our history. Our metadata will be that, okay, once you access the page, you don't cache it right away, you store the number of misses that it has so far.
That the system has.
That the system has.
When you say it, you...
That the cache.
It's not
that the cache currently has so far. And then you don't cache. You don't cache anything. You just save it of the history.
For that page.
For that page. So the next time that page is accessed, you're going to have this new set of information, right? So you have the number of misses that the cache had before it was re-accessed. The page was re-accessed. So you would see like, okay, well, what's the minimum or what's the distance or the number of misses that were between this point, this access in time, and the access where the page was first missed? And then that will give you like a distance, right?
A type of distance, yeah.
Yeah, a type of distance, number of misses.
Yeah, if it's not the...
Delta misses.
Yeah,
delta
it's
misses.
Something, yeah.
Okay.
So you have a delta misses, and then you compare the number of misses with the delta misses that you have for the page that you're evicting, and you compare those. So you will need this metadata also for the cache pages.
Wouldn't that just be a least recently used then? Comparison?
Not completely, because least recently used is all accesses, right?
Yeah, that's all accesses.
But
this is just a way to make
used,
it that way.
Least recently used for these guys, is what you're saying. For these guys. One of these guys, right?
Yes.
Because it's just comparing the time that the last one was accessed and the time that the one that you're evicting is accessed.
Hmm.
And you're just evicting whichever one was least recently accessed.
Oh,
so replace
that's
it with another.
That's true.
Yeah.
I just thought about that.
I mean, it's not time, but it's still
an
element that gets bigger with time.
Yeah.
What we need is actually more along the lines of okay, this is why I think what we need is for the hits, we need miss distance. Miss distance for the items. Instead of comparing how many misses occurred. So what here, let's call this metric. Okay, let's call this metric as
delta.
Well, I guess we could call it that. Delta miss for element I, right?
Okay.
So what we're comparing is, let's say this is element I of victim V, accessed item A. So we are comparing this currently in your algorithm, right?
Mm-hmm. This misses.
And delta M of V equals what you're storing as M of V current SIF current minus M of V. Whatever was the miss count here. Okay, that's what you're comparing against delta miss of access. Similarly as M of current minus M of access. This is delta M of, right? This is... Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. The problem with that is that it'll basically
it
degenerate into an LRU behavior for these items, which you understand now, right?
Yeah.
I think we need more than this. So thanks, Stephen, for bringing that insight. What we really need, what do we need here?
The number of misses at the last time it was accessed and the one time previously
before
that.
Yeah.
In order to have a delta. that is more unique to the item.
So this is fine. We had to replace this guy, not by delta of MV, but...
Well, I would just redefine delta MV.
Well, then you
have delta MV.
Then you have to redefine this guy as well.
Different formula?
No, you cannot define delta MA that way because you might not have that information. So what you need here is more like... More about the history of delta M. Like you mean the previous one. So then, this may not be the best notation, but what I can come up with at this point. And h of delta M A equals.
Two accesses.
Two accesses. And the difference in this council at those points. Question is, what if you don't have two accesses? What if you just brought an item into the cache?
Yes. With MA1, it's actually M current. And MA2, if you haven't accessed it once before, it can be zero, but since it's only been accessed once, it goes into the ghost LR.
It needs to be accessed at least once before.
Yeah, so
before
it just
it
goes
shows
straight
up
into
the ghost
history.
LR you, and then eventually it will go into the cache, and at that point you'll have two misses.
You'll have the
two accesses, and the corresponding miss comes. So you'll have
you'll have the information.
You have both. As soon as it enters the cache, you'll have both of these numbers. Right? So you have that.
Yeah, if it has a chance of going to the cache, you'll have at least one previous hit, which would be your MA2. And then MA1 would actually be M current, because that's being accessed right now.
This is probably better. Oh yeah, it is certainly better than what we had in mind earlier.
That is awesome.
Okay.
You're not very, very happy.
I am. I don't know how we're going to do this. So, okay.
How are you going to do it?
So, the first time you access it, you have.
You put it in the ghost list.
I'm in the ghost list.
Yeah.
And I have the value when it was accessed or missed.
You have
MA2.
You have MA2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have MA2. Okay.
And then
the second time it gets,
the second time you access M current,
and it
becomes MA1.
And it also becomes a candidate to become something in the cache.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I put that in the cache with the delta. That's delta MA. Okay. So I have for this element in the cache, delta MA. Okay, so how do I update delta MA as I access the element in the cache?
You need to have both numbers.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't store delta MA, you store
MA1.
MA1 and you store MA2.
So the second time that I access it.
You evict the previous one, put the new one in. Evict the oldest one and put the new access in. I guess that's one way. That may not be the most stable way. I mean, but that's probably the simplest way.
Like tuples.
Mm.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Right, is that.
Oh, yeah. I have the event graphs for the loud arc when I have the mystery stable.
Okay.
It's at 1,000 granularity, so that way you can more easily see what the stable arc or the stable algorithm sees,
mm-hmm.
And why it would make a certain decision at that time.
I see.
Okay, so what's the difference with saying... Okay, one last question, mm-hmm. Sorry. So, MA1, okay, so let's say that I have these two numbers, and the settlement mm-hmm. is in the cache. So
yeah.
I got a current access right now.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to get rid of this, put this here.
Not yet.
Okay. What's up?
So what do I do?
Oh, okay. For the same item?
Okay,
oh,
so for the same
item.
Let's
oh,
say
okay,
that this
same.
Is item, I don't know, I.
Yeah.
So I have I on the cache already with the...
MA1 and MA2.
MA1 and
MA2. Uh-huh.
Okay. And then I re-access it again. How would I update it?
You move MA1 to MA2, and then MA1 becomes M current.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you understand why, though?
I mean, that's what we intended to do in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm. What we said was we were going to compare delta MV, which is M current minus MV, and delta MA, which is M current minus MA. Now we are going to compare H of delta MA with delta MA. With source.
Yeah.
MV. Oh. No, this is delta MA, so.
Yeah, and that's confusing me a bit earlier.
Sorry. My bad.
That's
MV1.
That makes
a lot
more
sense.
One.
But this is not the last one. I mean,
what is not the last one?
Okay, so I'm still confused because this is exactly what we were doing before, right?
No.
I'm updating the current and then I'm subtracting.
Well, I'm telling you, first we were comparing. Okay, let's make some more space here. Okay, the previous comparison was delta MA
okay.
with delta MB.
Okay.
Okay, agreed?
Yes.
The new comparison is delta MA with H of delta MV.
Now I got it. Because this is, okay, so this is the current for both, and this is just when it was last access.
Yeah.
The delta when it was last access.
Yeah, previous.
When I
previous,
hit.
Yes.
When I hit.
Yeah, when it was accessed previously to the one before that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, that's it. Like, M and current is not the same.
Mm, because if you do current, like Stephen pointed out, you'll churn again because there will be an LRU list all over again.
So, yeah, I'm not going
to
call
Yeah, if you simplify the formula out, it just becomes negative MV compared to negative MA.
Yep.
Okay, so...
Then you just get whichever is the...
Mm-hmm.
Oldest
one.
Yeah.
Okay. Get kicked out.
But this is good. Yeah. Okay, now I got it. Okay, so... Cash.
So now the real question is what happens when we insert all of these things? I'm curious.
Oh, yeah. Looking at the events,
yeah.
The miss rate stability does not look like it's a good indicator of phase at all.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's under there. It's normal, then stable. The stable, you'll see the yellow on top as to where it's off. I had to add the ninth event of the eighth event. No, it's the ninth event, but labeled eight of do nothing. You can see all the instances where it does nothing. Of course, does nothing waits until the cache is populated.
So all of this time.
As always, the most interesting case with our miss rate stable arc is source 2.1.
Oh, I didn't have the right one.
Right. You just got to go to the table of contents. Because this is big, and it just got bigger. Alright, wait for everything to load now. Okie doke. As you can see, it does start doing nothing about the time that the phase changes. So on this particular one, it does
the right
well.
Thing.
Yeah. But as you see, the more that we have cached here, the earlier this we start to have the hits again. So I think there might be a bit of everything that's here is accessed towards the end of the phase.
So the whole thing is contained in the cache. Oh, no.
So this much of the phase is already in the cache. And we're seeing that it's actually accessed towards the end, it seems.
So these are all hits. Whereas here, do nothing means... Or do I know if it's hits or not?
Oh, actually, I'm completely... I think I'm wrong. This is B1 evictions, I think. So we are putting these in. So I think it's this that's here. Pardon me.
Okay, remind us again. First of all, what is the red is a miss?
That's a population.
Oh, that's a population.
That's you're just adding to... It's a miss, but you're adding it to...
What is green?
T-hit. T1 or T2.
Okay. And then this yellow thing here, it's...
It's
more like a mustard, actually.
I think that is... I think that's pure... You're just evicting a item from T1 to B1 and then putting an item to T1.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think, is you're evicting from B1 as well. You're evicting from B1, you're putting something into B1, and you're populating T1.
Is that a hit or a miss?
That's a miss.
All of these are misses?
Yeah.
And then this is a hit.
Yellow means do nothing.
Oh,
that's
do
not
nothing.
That's not a hit. The green is a hit.
Do nothing means miss.
Green is the only thing that means hit.
Okay.
And you can compare it with the regular arc up there.
And this is regular arc.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of paired two at a time.
So there's hardly any...
it's just churning.
Very little hits. There's a lot of churning here. And there's a lot more hits here because this cache is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's fully contained.
And then there is no difference between...
Well, it's not done populating.
Ah.
So we don't actually do anything in the stable. I didn't realize it, but I actually did go up to 2 gigabytes.
Okay.
I scripted it and everything, and I did the 2 gigabytes, but when I was putting all this up, I didn't realize I had those files. I only thought I went up to 1 gigabyte.
Okay.
So I just added another one and everything. There was another interesting case where a particular event was much more frequent. I think it might have been one of the projects. I don't remember if it was the fourth one.
This one? Project 4?
Is it the fourth one? It's just an entire side suddenly became the purple color, which is event 3. No. Yeah. Is it this one? No, I guess not. But as you can see, the yellow is very... The spots where
this
we...
One.
Oh, there we go. Project 3. Just all of this becomes pronounced the third one. If I'm right, that's an eviction from B2, meaning that all of the do-nothing that we have and a lot of the things, I guess, are
mm-hmm.
accessed again.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're not adding anything, we are putting a lot of things into T2 and B2. Because things are getting hit, but we're
mm-hmm.
not changing up T1. And since we hit things that are in T1, they go to T2.
Mm. That's the purple?
I think purple is either a B2 hit.
Mm.
Yeah, actually, let me say T1, T2 hit, 2 is a B1 hit, and 3 is a T is a B2 hit.
B2 hit.
Yeah. So everything is in B2 here.
Mm.
Which is interesting nonetheless. But that's just a side effect of having it turned off. And
if it's a hit in B2, does it go into T2 or does it?
It goes back into T2 because it assumes that it has a high frequency.
I see. Interesting.
But yeah, one of the things I definitely notice is that.
So here, what's happening here is these. What's going on here? With all these bands of green and yellow. Green are the hits and yellow are the...
No, do nothings.
Do nothings.
You can see that the miss rate pretty much stabilizes according to the granularity. It's pretty stable. And so we turn it off at that point.
Mm.
And it does pretty okay for a couple thousand. But
is that aligned with this part or this?
No, it starts even during this part, as you can see.
That's where the miss rate is stable.
Yeah. But because, apparently, as you can see, we do have quite a few more hits by turning it off here, which is, you know, interesting. And it seems that we have a repeated pattern, but... we're still missing out on whatever is there.
Ideally... Do nothing. So why is there a repeated pattern? Because half the stuff is in the cache, whereas half is not in the cache. Or...
Yeah, it looks like as soon as we get everything in the cache here, it's mostly green.
Mm.
It's more alike to what we see with the set info.
And this is the LRU?
That's the arc.
Oh, that's the arc.
And this is the stable arc.
Stable arc. So this is the arc. So this looks much worse than this, for instance. But are these all the same cache size?
Yeah, they're all the same. They're grouped by cache size. All of them are tested at 1,000 granularity right now.
And this is arc. This is stable arc.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we do nothing when there is a lot of misses here.
Well, it's purely based on the stabilization of the miss rate. So as you can see, they're pretty. It's a nice grouping here, so we stay off.
Mm.
It isn't until it spikes or does something similar to that we really just turn it off.
So when you say stable miss rate, you're looking at the stability of the green line?
Essentially,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's interesting.
Green line is hits, but... I mean...
It's the complement of misses.
Yeah, it's a complement. And pretty much anything that isn't green is a miss, so you just have to look for that kind of proportion. But yeah, like I said, the yellows don't really seem like they show that the stable algorithm is very good for detecting phases, it seems.
One second. Hello? Speaking?
Okay, where are you then?
Hi, Elizabeth. I know I owe you an email, and I'll try to get it to you as soon as I can. Yes.
Yeah. Number of faces is one. I tried already.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm doing a presentation on Thursday in the afternoon. Yes. So even if we can do this by Thursday noon, I guess we are fine. And it may also, I don't know what the rules are, but it could be that we may be able to do it by the end of Thursday. I don't know really. But I'll send you the information by the end of the day today. Yes.
The counter that can have for number of misses, also. Are you worried about that overflowing at all, or is it?
No, actually, it's a remote presentation. I'll be doing it from Miami.
Is it just Python?
Yeah.
It's Python. It doesn't.
Yeah, much easier. Yes. Okay.
It's a very good computation. But do you do what, a long? Or can you handle even a long, do you even larger or something?
Yeah, it's all about how long the tricks are going on.
Yeah, there is a paper and the presentation, and the disclosure probably I'll need more time, but the paper and presentation are ready to send. Almost, yes.
How long does it take to run your experiments when you run the cache?
How many cells of triggers?
Yes, I'll send you that information as well.
If I'm just running all of the traces and I'm worrying about all the different cache sizes and stuff,
oh, you mean the first page of the disclosure or something like that? I haven't looked at the disclosure yet.
If you want, if we can try to look at the code, unless he just uses a hash table, he defines some special functions, defines the structure for the...
Yeah,
okay,
sounds good. I'll do that. Okay.
But everything seems pretty... simple.
Yes.
All you do is
okay, great. Thanks.
Table lookups.
Bye bye.
Assumptions from the. Okay. So, we might. And it also uses, of course, lists. So, you can get the head and use the entire list and stuff like that.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. And Trees has it simplified out so that way you can pretty much do. Whatever you want.
So I'm gonna try something today, which is eliminating all the metadata that I'm generating for some traits that I'm generating. Doing some, compressing and stuff like that. I'm gonna take that out. I mean, I'm not gonna erase it. I'm just gonna implement it again, and we're gonna run the experiments again tonight. Just having those things as a test. I'm going to see how long does it take to do the whole process.
Okay.
And if it takes long or significantly longer, I might just do it in C. Re-implement it in C so I can do experiments in hours rather than taking one day.
Yeah, Python is quite the is quite the slow one. But it's good for prototyping.
Yeah, it's pretty fast. I mean, I did everything pretty fast in there.
Well, once you have the algorithm, then converting it into C should not be so much trouble.
No, it's C++.
Okay, so, sorry.
Especially in C++.
Yeah, sorry about that. I have to take that phone call. So you were looking at the events. Now, I think what you are saying is that, where am I?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that the stability is not a good indicator.
The
mistrate stability. Why do you say that?
If we look at the events where we're doing nothing, that shows the times where we actually are on. And if you compare it to our set info graph, you can see that a lot of times we are still turning off while we're presumably changing phases.
Oh, I see. Okay, this workload is probably not the right example, is it? Oh, actually, no, there is.
Source 2.1 was
well here too, right?
Perfect.
I mean, here too.
Yeah,
there is some stability here, but we turn it off. So.
And the problem is, it doesn't stay on during the phase either.
I mean, like this, like in this area.
Yeah, it doesn't even really turn on. Turn off during the phase.
But this could be because we haven't looked at the recent step, the recent items. So here we look at all items accessed since the beginning of time, right? But in the cache, it could be there could be new items, which is why the miss rate is not stable.
Yeah, that's why I had that other graph that showed the ghost RU info.
This is source. This is prods 3. I think we had that right somewhere.
With the set information that you're probably looking for. Yeah, it's not here, but it's in one of the. Previous Back a little more. You're still alive. Back a little more. Okay. I think it's one of the summary. Go Sell Are You, yeah. Which project?
No, it's three.
Okay.
It's three.
Looks mostly stable. Granted, this is at four times that amount for...
This is at four times the amount for that cash size.
I could see how it goes at that particular...
Cash size.
Yeah.
Because what we have is...
But then it'll just be a pure miss rate count, two for LRU. That's all right.
So why are you comparing there? See, one is the lions, he said, or you.
One is the actual unique items. The X axis is the access number, and the Y is the number of unique items being accessed at that point.
Okay.
Up to that point.
So you're comparing them with LRU, and why is it different?
Well, with the LRU, if it's a significant size, it contains all the items. So you won't have any misses. So what we do is, every time there's a miss in the LRU, we counted it as a new item. Because to it, it really is a new item. So we're looking at how...
So that's why it's bigger.
Yeah. So if it couldn't contain the entirety of the phase, it would just keep going up like that.
So when you multiply... This is bigger, right? That's why they're the same line.
Mm-hmm.
Basically. Almost.
Yeah. So everything here was contained within the 4 times 128 megabyte size.
That's a very cool graph.
Mm-hmm. And then you can see where it starts to divert more and more. And then you can see it gets better with a bigger cache size, which is to be expected.
Yeah, exactly. It does the same.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Until it actually matches up. It's a definitely interesting graph. You know, could help show why an LRU might have issues, but the arc's a little bit more complicated.
What is the... how do you reason that using this graph?
Purely because with the arc, we're holding on to items that aren't necessarily going to be in the LRU order. So there's a possibility that we'll have hits in some places where there's misses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a possibility that doing an ARC implementation at the same cache size might give us a either better or worse result.
Mm-hmm.
And it's... and we're probably going to see a better result, and just purely from counting the number of misses.
Mm-hmm.
So this N number should be probably down here, but if you want to see the areas where it does better or worse than, I guess, what would be optimal right here, then it could be perhaps a problem.
Well, I think it would be good to have a set info plot for that specific cache size where we see this.
Okay. I could
right,
do
so
the
here,
same plot and...
Right, so here is where you don't... Do we see it? Actually, we have a larger cache size, right? Do we see the cache turning off in the larger cache size?
As long as it gets populated, yeah. You can see the yellow here.
No.
There's a little bit of a goldenrod color, but this yellow is actually it turning off, doing nothing.
Right. But I'm wondering, in this part... should be turning off, right? I mean, given this. So what is the size here?
That one is 512.
512, yes. And if I compare it with 512 here, where is 512?
That's 256.
Yeah, this 512. There should be a lot more turning off.
We have still have a lot of hits.
There is
some turning off right there. But there's also a couple instances where there is...
But it could be, I mean, even when the cache is turned off, there could still be hits, right?
Yeah, there's hits. If you see any of these B2 misses, though, or B1 misses, I think. Yeah, B1 misses. That means that the
cache is on,
yeah.
In these parts?
So pretty much, when it's off, you should either see green or yellow, and that's it.
Hmm. So aren't we seeing quite a bit of that here? We're seeing a lot of that here, right?
Mm.
We're seeing a lot of green, but if it's not green, it's yellow. So which means that the cache is likely off.
It's off for a lot of it, but it's also on for some interesting
parts here.
Yeah. Where we have a
miss
change in the miss rate.
But it's also, there is a miss too. And there would be, right? Because you cannot, you don't contain the computer.
Compared up here, it shouldn't be that significant.
Okay, so are there, for example, are there, so you have these ones which has a lot of green in them. What's the performance comparison between those ones and the actual ARC? Or
this is ARC.
Okay, so ARC versus your implementation. What's your limitation?
Arc, unstable. It keeps the miss rate for the last whatever the granularity is.
Yeah, I know. I know that. I remember that. But what's the? I mean, is the behavior of Arc stable better than the behavior of Arc in those cases?
Then that. I don't think that one.
Performance.
You can actually pretty much see just by the amount of green. That for the most part, it does worse. Granted, it's not much worse, but it's still worse.
Why do you say it's worse?
We have plenty of sections where there's a lot of green not coming up on the stable arc by comparison. See, this one's even fully green, pretty much.
Hmm.
And you've got plenty of yellow coming here.
But yellow doesn't... Yellow means a miss.
Yellow's a miss. That's why it's a do nothing.
Oh.
Whereas, if it's a hit, well, we're not really doing nothing, we're updating the cache. Which is why you've got a situation like here, where we have a lot of items being reaccessed that are in B2. Because they've all been updated and they were in T2 when they got evicted.
Because
they got updated at some point.
Update. So here, the cache is on all of these.
Yeah. If it's
instances,
not,
right?
If there's any color other than
green
and yellow,
it was on. Okay. I see.
No doubt there's a bunch of different interesting things with this, but looking at the events... Then comparing where the events were to what we see as
well, here, for instance, I see more hits here than this band of blue here. I see more hits here, right? Related to this band of... Oh, actually, no. I guess the alignment is not good.
Yeah.
So this part corresponds to this part here, and all of these are misses too.
Yeah. In fact, there's... more misses there than in the arc, which is just one of the spots that you can see that.
So
I think that can be interesting to, as you're saying, maybe graph. I don't know if I should be graphing the LRU or maybe the arc. Misses against the set info like that at different cache sizes to see.
Well, we are looking at one cache size where we could make a comparison, and still there is. So we looked at the 256 megabyte, 512 megabyte, which is this one right here.
This 512. One. Yeah.
It's 512, right? So we make this a little bigger. And this is 512, so it's smaller.
Yeah, it's a big picture.
Yeah.
look at this against this guy right here. Right, so here, I mean, there is still new items being added. There are sections which are very stable, but then there are new items added. And then that'll affect the hit ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so here, I mean, there is a good correlation between the turning off and, so this part is turned off, this part is turned off, and then this part is turned off, and maybe much of this is, right? So if you look at the corresponding stability here, I think there is a good correlation. So I don't know if we can conclude that the stability is not a right good indicator. Or that the turning off is not correlated with our stability. That's
I have a question. Have you tried something like that you have, like you keep those elements, so when you are stable, you don't change the miss rate, right? So as you get new items, as you get new items, you can store these items, the metadata from, for example, knowing which one of these items are. And then as you decide, like, okay, I got a new face, I have all these elements that I just recently accessed to that are new entirely because they missed on the cache, but the cache was off. So I didn't do an eviction, but I have all these elements. So let's bring them all together. You just did one big request and populate the cache with the new face.
I worry that the loading would take forever, though, trying to get them all from memory.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you miss a lot. Because you had the cache off. I mean, it's under the assumption that all the items that you missed were part of the cache, and then that it would be optimal for being in the cache.
Well, when you turn the grass evictions on, you are making the same assumption, right?
Yeah. You make the same assumption that probably in the cache would then be beneficial.
There might be another direction here, which is perhaps some of these workloads are not stable enough. If we up the stakes with regards to what is really stable. Right?
Yeah.
And then some of these phases, some of these stable periods may not be stable anymore. And then we will start performing equivalently to the unimodal arc, right, in those parts, because we don't turn the cache off. But for those periods which are really stable, we should benefit compared to arc. So it might be a question of raising the stakes as to what is stable, or increasing, not the stakes, but increasing the requirements as to what is stable.
I got another question. So, have you tried this more than three elements? So, the three last hit ratios, instead of saying like three, let's say five, and then it's harder to change a face.
I think I had information that checked how long periods of stability were with ARC, and most of them hovered, of course, between 1 and 2, and only very few got 3 or higher, most of them. Which is why it became the 3, but, I mean, I could go 5, we could see how that goes.
But in other words, I guess what we are looking to do is to reduce what are called the number of false negatives.
Yeah.
Right, where we say that the system is
false positives, right?
In other words, false positives. We want to reduce the number. You're right.
Yeah.
false positives, where we say that we are in a stable phase, but we are not really in a stable phase.
Mm-hmm.
That is a false positive. We want to reduce those at the cost of false negatives, where we lose some stable periods. And that just means that we'll perform equivalently to work.
So
at those times.
So
So why if you change the requirements to get into, so you're gonna get into a phase where you disable the evictions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So those requirements should be, I mean, you have a set of requirements for that, and you got a set of requirements to get out of it. Probably you can say, like, you can give less requirements to get out of it, because that's the problem that you have, right? That you stay too long in there.
Yeah.
And then you start having a lot of misses because you're changing the phase. So what happens if you reduce that, and then you benefit from disable the evictions for a little while, and then you just, like you said, you only have one or two, your phases mostly go as high as one or two periods. So you can reduce to two periods that the point in time where you decide not to start making evictions, right?
I'm trying to think. I'm thinking along the lines that Ricardo is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have examples here where we start missing a lot more than ARC? And how do we know if the misses? We need to use some stability metric there as well. I mean, when we don't do anything, we still have misses.
Of course.
Yes.
Right. So we need to use some notion of stability of the misses changing to say, okay, now I'm no longer stable.
Okay.
Right now, that's just if there's a big enough change in the latest measurement of miss rate.
So already you have a different metric for getting out of the phase than to
off
a stable period than to getting into a stable period.
I figured that we'd want to be
very quickly react.
Very quickly out versus very quickly in.
Mm-hmm.
And originally I thought the 3 was a good metric. We could always try and increase it to see if anything changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll probably, in most cases, have a better number than the current.
In terms of the hit ratio.
In terms of hit, because it'd be...
But we'll have fewer or
times
more evictions.
So you can maybe try different combinations and say, like, let's say 5 and 2, because you need to compare at least something, right? So 5 and 2, and then 5 to get in and 2 to get out, and then 4 to get in and 2 to get out, or 4 and 3, or 4 and 4. Maybe that would make sense.
I think at this point, I mean, given the data that I can recall, for most of the workloads, we have a lot of false positives, right? So that means our barrier to entering a stable phase is perhaps too low.
Yeah. Let's see if there's any...
maybe increasing that and increasing that.
Yeah.
See if there's any particular grunts here.
Yeah, that's... Okay.
Let's see. Interesting, that's why I turned it off. And it's only turned off at the very end, which actually is this correspondent. Just trying to double check through all the graphs, see if there's any particular cases that I can pull out.
So I think it would be good to have a structured investigation of that false positive, false negative trade-off by changing our requirements for detecting stability and detecting instability. And these are not necessarily, they don't have to be the same metric. Right?
Yeah.
And I don't think we have it the same now either. They're different. The detection of stability versus instability are based on two different criteria.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah. What's nice about these event graphs is I can just sum it up to find out the number of misses and hits and stuff, which is nice compared to rerunning it again. Although I will have to rerun it if I change metric further on,
yeah.
But I can easily just get certain information out.
So you have Python implementations now?
Python for going through the more of the data more than the...
Okay, than the actual simulations.
Yeah, yeah, simulations are still in C.
Okay.
So that way they run a lot faster.
You have an Arc implementation, right? In C?
Yeah,
we have an Arc.
We have an Arc LRU.
So I guess you could modify that.
That's what I was just talking about with him.
Yeah.
Where I'm with
him. Oh, okay.
Okay, we can even just copy the files and paste them.
Yeah, just change the methods.
It's the same. It's just create a new class for the new implementation.
It's really renaming a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And emptying out those functions to change them to your own.
Hmm. Okay, good. So I think you have something interesting to look at next,
mm-hmm.
which is false positives and how to control the taming of the false positives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can also come back with some statistics on if there's any improvements.
Yeah,
so I'm going to try to implement my optimizations, the ones that I had in mind to fix my stuff. If it takes too long, I'm going to make the experiments on the new function that we... And I'm going to time it.
Mm-hmm.
If that takes too long,
mm-hmm.
I may call you or contact you for a little bit of help getting the stuff with the caches that Ricardo has implemented. Just to have it running on C++. And generating the data as I generate it right now so I can generate the graph the same way.
I
mean,
I don't think they're C++, I think they're C.
Yeah, they're just pure C.
Okay, so pure C.
Unfortunately.
That's okay.
Well,
I mean, I can always do the new thing on C++.
Yeah.
I mean, my new part on C++,
yeah.
And just call
just
the C.
The right.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just use the right compiler.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
I may contact you.
No problem.
To try to do that this week.
I mean,
if you have time.
Biggest question is with the algorithm, how do you choose who's going for eviction in the cache?
You compare, right? You compare which one is less than the other, right? If the victim is greater than
I mean, who do you choose for eviction? How do you choose the victim?
That's different for each one of them, right? So I would need to run the access, but without actually replacing anything, just to get the eviction page, right? So instead of doing that replace function, for example, for letter U is simple, right? Because you just get the last element.
Yeah.
But for Arc, you just need to do a replacement function that doesn't do anything, that does just give you the page that is up for a victim.
Yeah, it's usually either the least recently used in T1 or least recently used in T2.
So in other words, you run Arc and make it give you the victim.
Yes, but without making a replacement.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. So no evictions, just... you get who
victim selection.
No evictions and no update on the B variable.
Unless you decide that there is going to be an eviction.
Yeah,
after
right.
Doing this calculation.
Yes, exactly. I get the eviction page, I compare the
yeah.
values, and if I do,
so
I do
just,
the real access.
So you're just getting the least recently used from T1 and T2.
Yes.
Or T2, which are one.
Yeah, depending on the values of B or the you know, the variable that
yeah,
the if
statements and stuff for. I think I actually have the function. Good. I still have the Arc page here, I think, maybe. Maybe not.
So that's it.
They might
no,
have to
it's okay. That's not a problem.
So you guys will work together to get that done.
Yeah,
yes,
we can.
If you cannot do it on your own.
Yeah, I mean, if the Python thing takes too long, I'll just
use
Steven's help to quickly implement it and see because it's already done.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Good.
Just
I'm glad that things are not stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
And you're not spinning any wheels here.
All right, so I'll make sure to run these numbers again.